House Committee on Consumer and Business Affairs, meeting in April 9th, 1987, 1 o'clock, we're in H-170.
2878. Apparently we have some amendments. Yes, Representative Stone.
I have a set of amendments coming down that changes a date. We'll be here in a few moments.
Okay. Do you have an honorary page or page bringing them?
Well, the
person who
requested the amendments.
Okay. The reason why I asked that question is one day we had some amendments that we requested, and they sent a honorary page to pick them up, and it took 2 hours. You might go over these for us.
The dash two amendments are a result of the last work session. If you'll recall, Commissioner Kulongoski had requested that there be an addition that said, a violation of this section shall be grounds for the insurance commissioner to take appropriate action pursuant to ORS 744255. So that has been added. And he also had requested that the word willful be deleted in the dash one amendments. So what you have here, the dash two amendments are actually the dash one amendments merged with new language that was requested.
Okay.
And Chair?
Yes, Representative Anderson.
What did we do with the word willful? We had some discussion on that. Is that in the bill or out of the bill?
It's out of the bill.
In dash two?
Yes.
Yes. You'll notice it's now a sub 5, line 16 in the dash 2 amendments.
And got one more amendment that's coming.
Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and clear the dash 2 amendments.
All right. Representative Schoon has moved House Bill 2878-2 amendments. Teresa, will you call the roll?
Peterson?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
McPhee?
Undecided.
Coon?
Aye.
Ekus? Anderson?
No.
Aye. McTeague will vote aye.
Thank you, Chair.
Both sides, the amendments dash two are adopted. Yes, Representative Anderson.
I'd like to open the discussion again for my revisiting the willful. I'd like to know if violation means just only an accusation or an actual proven act.
I take violation to mean a proven act.
Well, if that's on the record, that's what it says. I don't really know why we took the word willful out, other than making it a little easier for a conviction. And I still read this. Just it's alleged that you violated, and so.
Well, I don't think that, well, I'm not going to say that your concern is not warranted, but I feel very comfortable with the term violation, because that says to me that someone has not just been alleged to have committed something. In fact, that says to me, as far as I understand the intent, that it has been proven that they did.
Well, Chair, I feel much more comfortable if someone could tell me why we took willful out.
I don't know if we have anybody from Ted's office, and I can't remember, very frankly. Can you remember some of the arguments that Ted has?
I believe it's redundant, basically, that that's a standard phraseology in statute.
I know that oftentimes we get hung up, I know, in different committees that I've served on when we use the word knowingly. If you'd like, Representative Anderson, I'm sure that we could make a phone call and...
No, let it go. We got,
I don't think it's
we
that
got
big
of a... bigger fish to fry.
All right. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Have we received Representative Schoon's amendments yet?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The dash three amendments. Do only one thing. The amendments appear to me to be the same as the dash two, except that the date is July 1st instead of January 1st. And Madam Chair, I guess I'll move that we substitute July 1st, 1988 for January 1st, 1988.
Okay. Discussion on my part. Can you explain why that changed?
I'll do the best I can.
All right.
I agreed to have the amendments prepared in my name, and then I'll read the letter. It says, thank you for agreeing to sponsor the amendment. So,
just a wonderful representative here.
Well, something is implied, I guess. But it says that the purpose of this, and this is from the professional insurance agents who support the bill and the other amendments, the purpose of the change of the date to July is to ensure that the administrative rules are developed and that there is still plenty of time for the information to go through their organizations, out to their agents, and then to establish the separate accounts and comply with any other administrative rules that might be published.
Sounds reasonable.
I think maybe we're... probably it could be done by January 1st, but I suppose there's some reasonable doubt, or at least there is in their minds, that everything, the rules would be promulgated and finalized and promulgated by January. So I guess it's another 6 months, I suppose. It wouldn't make all much difference as long as it is done.
Any comments or questions in regard to Representative Schoon's amendments, dash 3? They have been moved. Teresa, will you call the roll?
Gilman?
Aye.
McTeague? Schoon?
Aye.
Ekus?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Chair Jolin?
Aye. Dash 3 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move the bill for the due pass rate.
Representative Schoon moves House Bill 2878 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? Questions? Teresa, please call the roll.
Schoon?
Aye.
Ekus?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
Chair Jolin?
Aye. The bill has been adopted. McTeague will carry the bill. Now we go to my favorite. Now we'll open the work session on House Bill 2599. Yes. I think I need to have, is John Steuben? Yeah, they're looking right at you. John, will you please come forward? Is Rich in the room? There you are. Will you come forward too? Rich, I don't know if we'll need you or not, but I'd just like you there just in case.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Besides, I kind of like to look at you.
Oh.
John, and well, first of all, maybe I should look to staff to let us know of any and all amendments and go through those with us, and then I'll come back to the two gentlemen.
What we have are still the same amendments we had last time. And 4. There have been no changes, but the committee did have some questions that you wanted checked out before you worked the bill. Troy moved it. There were some issues that were raised by the Better Business Bureau. Tim Wood of the Attorney General's office was unable to be here today, but he did give me answers to your questions. The first question was in regard to leasing companies, and the BBB was concerned about whether leasing companies would be stuck with finance charges. Mr. Wood's response to that is no. The manufacturer is the person who is being dealt with in this bill. The manufacturer would pay the lessor, and the consumer under this bill would be made whole by the manufacturer, whatever the costs are called and whatever amount they are, and any kind of terms, finance charges or anything else. The manufacturer is the one that would have to reimburse, not the lessor. The second question on Department of Justice review, Better Business Bureau's concern was that their records are confidential. Mr. Wood's response to that is excuse me, I have to review my notes. The AG's office doesn't want to set up any kind of a special interest situation about who does or doesn't get subpoenaed. Magnuson Moss, which was discussed last time, the Magnuson Moss Act, does not require confidentiality. But in addition, the third question, what parts of the hearings does the Department of Justice want, because it would be costly to duplicate? Mr. Wood was saying that they would not want all records. So that also answers the confidentiality question to some extent. Appendix 4 of the Connecticut statute is a model in that regard, and I have it in my file here somewhere. And it lists the things that would be required, and it's not copies of the records themselves. It's questions about how many records have you, how many cases have you reviewed, what was the disposition of the cases, and so on. He felt that the Better Business Bureau's concerns were not really very serious the way this bill is written.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Could you identify for us the who's dash four amendments these are?
I was going to ask staff to go through each amendment and identify each, because okay, that is important to know.
Dash one is Osberg. Dash two is the automobile dealers, Keister. Dash three, Jim Austin, the Manufacturers Association. And dash four was also Osberg, but I believe that they have decided they do not want to use the dash four amendments.
While I have you up here then, John, you want to explain the reason for not desiring dash four?
Madam Chair and members, John Steubenval from Osberg. Yes, Madam Chair, the Attorney General's office had concerns about the dash four amendments in that calling on the department to annually examine the various arbitration programs in the state would obviously require some sort of fiscal impact on the department. The department was concerned that the bill does not allocate resources to it to perform this annual examination. The department was concerned that they would have to take staff time and resources away from other important projects in order to perform this annual examination. Therefore, we are requesting that the dash four amendments not be considered.
Okay, thank you. Rich, do you have any comments on dash two, which are your amendments?
No, I don't, Madam Chair. We spoke to him. Representative Trahearne, I believe, spoke to him during the public hearing, and we certainly like to have him as accepted as submitted.
And, John, would you refresh us again on the dash one?
Yes, Madam Chair, the dash one amendments do two things. The first part of the dash one amendments really bring our Lemon Law statute into conformity with most of the other state statutes in defining what is a substantial defect. Our current statute reads that a substantial defect impairs the use and value of the vehicle. The amendments would change that definition to say the use, value, or safety of the vehicle. We feel safety is an important consideration since most of the other states do have this type of language. We would like to bring our statute into compliance with those other states. The second part of the dash one amendments affects section four of the printed bill. Section four of the printed bill currently requires the Department of Justice to review records from the arbitration processes. The amendments would change section four and make that a voluntary checking of the records. They would the amendments would allow the Department of Justice to review the records from the arbitration panels, but would not require the department to do so. This again takes care of concerns about fiscal impact for the department.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, I think that dash two are, at least for me, very understandable. Any further comments or questions? Yes, Representative Anderson.
I was looking at the dash three amendments, and I can't fit them in the bill the way they come.
Well, I certainly hope you can't fit them in your bill. As the chief sponsor, I don't want you to fit them in the bill. Let me make that perfectly clear.
It refers to line 12, page 2, after the comma, and there's no comma in it. Yeah. Well, I guess there is. Okay.
I mean, it's possible to fit them in the bill, but I guess one would have to fit them in the bill if you had the votes to do so. And I'm doubtful. Okay, at this time, well, I'm not the most conventional person in the whole world. Never said that. I'm to get things moving, I'm going to move the amendments HB 2599-1. Any comments or questions? Teresa, will you call the roll?
Ika?
Aye.
McTeague?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Anderson votes aye.
Anderson. Chair Dolan?
Aye. Dash one amendments are adopted. I would move HB 2599-2. Amendments? Any comments or questions? Teresa, call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
McTeague?
No.
Ika?
Aye.
Chair Jolin?
Aye. The amendments dash two are adopted. Anybody would like to move dash three?
I can count.
I just wanted to give you the opportunity, Representative Anderson. I will move HB 2599. Let's see, where are we at? That's all we need. We've eliminated four. So I would move HB 2599 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any comments,
Madam
questions?
Chair,
yes, Representative Anderson.
I think we ought to have it endorsed with all these amendments.
Yes, good idea. We'll accept that as a friendly amendment to my motion. Teresa, will you call the roll?
McTeague?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Ika?
Aye.
Chair Dolan?
Aye. The bill is passed to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. And I'll carry the bill. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, both of you. Okay. We'll move into work session on House Bill 2899. Okay, let's take a 5-minute recess. Okay, let's reopen the work session on HB 2899. And we do have some, we've already had a hearing on this. Oh, that's another bill.
Right.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'd like staff to go through some of the amendments before us.
Okay, there are three, and they're separate so that you can adopt them individually. Dash 1 and Dash 3 were proposed by OLCC and were discussed at the last hearing. Dash 1 inserts the definitions, seasonal dispenser, community events dispenser, tour boat, and brewery public house in two different places. And it's those were reviewed by the committee last time, but they were not in LC form. And then Dash 3 amendment would have the commission adopt a rule that would exempt certain licensees. If you'll recall, last time there was quite a long string of potential exemptions, and the committee had discussed that and decided they would prefer to do something simpler, just allowing the OLCC to adopt a rule. The Dash 2 amendments are in regard to the providers of the program. If you'll recall, the community colleges had proposed an amendment that would make the community colleges the provider of the program. And there was considerable discussion on that. And the committee had the feeling that they would like to keep that open to private providers, but if there was not a provider in the community, that the community college would be the provider. And so that is what the Dash 2 amendment would do.
Representative Ekus, would you like to comment on Dash 2?
Well, I think we may be going down the wrong track. What we want to do, I don't want to prohibit a community college from offering the program if there's private providers out there. On the other hand, I don't want to require that community colleges provide it or they've got exclusive provision of it. I think the simplest thing to do is just in the language that say the commission shall provide the program through community college independent contractor or through private person certified by the commission. Just add community college to that language there so that it's clear that community colleges are a provider of the program. That seems to me the simplest thing to do it without.
What line are you on?
I'm on lines 12 and 13, page 2, subsection 4, where it says the commission shall provide the program through independent contractors or through private persons certified by the commission. I don't know whether independent contractors would include community colleges or not, but just so that it's clear community colleges are a primary provider of it, that we would just add after the word through community colleges, comma, or community colleges, yeah, community colleges, comma, independent contractors or through private persons. So we've just added community colleges to that line, and that seems to simplify it without getting into shalls and in lieu of and everything else.
Representative Schoon?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I thought you were agreeable. Yes, Representative
Anderson. Sounds all right to me, but I don't think that language was the intent really of the committee. I had inserted, and I don't know where this came from, the so-called now after the word persons on line 13, or through private or
that's what I have
schools. And written right in my little bill here, and I don't know where that council draft came. And Representative Ekus, I think, could solve it that way anyway.
Well, Dash 2 was Ekus's LC draft.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not wedded to that at all. I know we go down to legislative council and marry a lot, but that's not.
Speak for yourself, Representative Ekus.
What seems to be coming? Everybody seems to be using that phrase now. They're talking about marrying two sides of a bill. But I think we just somehow either ought to have the language Representative Anderson has, that the public or private school institutions of some type, or we specifically just say community colleges in there. Either way, the amendments that have my name on them are not the way I would do it.
Representative Peterson.
Maybe we discussed this last time and I've forgotten. That doesn't preclude, let's say there's no community college in the area, but one of the four-year schools wants to offer something. I mean, we're not precluding anyone by this, are we?
We might if we state specifically community colleges.
I guess that makes me a little nervous.
Versus what Representative Anderson is suggesting, where you say private or public schools or...
Would you repeat your language again, or is it...
Well, contractors or through private persons or through private or public schools certified by the community.
Or through public or private schools certified by the commission. Does everybody feel comfortable with that? Representative Anderson, is that a motion?
I would move on line 13, after persons, we insert the words, or through private or public schools.
Certified by the commission?
Certified by the commission.
So moved. Are there any comments or questions? Teresa, call the roll, please.
Anderson?
Aye.
McTeague?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Boone?
Aye.
Ekis?
Aye.
Chair Dolan?
Aye. The amendments are adopted. Do I have a motion on dash one?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
There is one thing I need to point out there. Okay. This is what Darlene Meyer was talking with me about. On line 4 of the dash 1 amendment, before the word community in community events dispenser, mm-hmm. the word annual should be inserted so that it's very clear that it's for the annual community events, not the small one-time only event. To clarify that.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Ready for motion?
Yes, I am.
I would move Lady Council Amendments dash 1, dated 4-6-87, with one correction. The insertion of the word annual after the comma ahead of community.
All right. Dash 1, amended amendments have been moved. Any comments or questions? If not, Teresa, please call the roll.
McTeague?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Boone?
Aye.
Ekis?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Dolan?
Aye. The amendments have been adopted.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Anderson.
Move amendments, OLCC amendments, dash 3, dated 4-6-87.
And that was dash 3?
Right.
Dash 3 amendments have been moved. Any comments or questions? Teresa, please call the roll.
Gilman?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
McTeague?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ekis?
Aye.
Spoon?
Aye.
Chair Dolan?
Aye. Dash 3 amendments have been adopted.
Madam Chair, question?
Yes.
Have we taken care of now through the bill the problem of where management or owners might have had to, under the old law, take the exam yearly, and now we are exempting them unless they are in violation. With that, I move House Bill 2899 to the floor of the defense, as amended, to the floor of the defense recommendation.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Sherry.
In regard to Representative Anderson's question, I believe it's every 5 years, rather than never again unless there's
right.
a problem.
I understand.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The House Bill 2899, as amended,
According to my change, policy providing broader coverage shall have for sale complete coverage, which tracks with Mr. Bessonette's language on his hand and gross version under section 2, line 6.
Representative Peterson and then Representative McTeague.
Cletus, I had a window broken. Someone broke into my car a couple of years ago, and I think my deductible is $200. I didn't even bother with it. Now, are you saying in this particular amendment that if that's the only thing wrong with your car and you have a deductible, whether it's $200 or $300, that the glass would have to be covered regardless? Is that what this amendment does?
If you elected to get your windshield or whatever it was fixed, it must have been a windshield, your door glass would be probably tempered, and when it breaks, it all breaks, whereas the windshield is safety laminated.
It's a siphon.
If you elect not to get it replaced, that's up to you. But if you want it replaced and it is broken and is creating a problem for your visibility, get it fixed under this
law.
Well,
then in a sense, it really wouldn't be a deductible.
That's right. Okay. That's what he's proposing.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to be sure I understood it correctly. Thank you.
Okay. Representative McTeague.
Yeah, I'd first like to say that I think there's a lot of merit and value in this, and I'm glad that Cletus brought this issue before us, and I've read his testimony, and I think that there is a safety issue involved here. And your idea, I think, is worth exploring. I would wonder if, I would just ask the committee or somebody, if you did something like this, you're creating a slightly different kind of insurance policy or a mandate. Is something like that considered by the insurance commissioner's office when rates are filed, so that, you know, that this one slightly different version of comp insurance would be considered?
I don't know that I'm qualified to address that.
Maybe Tom Bassinette can take a stab at that.
You see what I'm asking? You know, you've got,
this is just a little itty bitty wrinkle in the insurance law, but you know, when you're pricing even down to this minute level, is that something that's considered by the insurance commissioner in authorizing your rate filings?
Normally considered in filing of our rates, we have to show what our loss experiences and expenses have been in the past. And then if they are justification for a rate increase, we will get the rate increase. We don't identify zero deductibles, 50 deductibles, and things of this nature. In relationship, we show our total income and our total expenses in those lines of insurance as comprehensive, as an example. We will break it down into some like glass in relationship to fire, in relationship to theft, but we won't break it down in relationship to whether it has a deductible on it.
So if we were to follow Representative Anderson's suggestion here, when it got down to the pricing difference between a comp covered with no deductible for glass and a comp covered with deductible for glass, and we're kind of taking you on trust that you guys have priced your product fairly, is that correct? And not necessarily on anything to do with insurance commissioner's office.
From the past experiences, we could not share with you what the price would be with zero deductible or no deductible at all. We do have, I have worksheets here showing what the premium charges are, but it's a $50 deductible, $100 deductible on comprehensive, which includes glass. And therefore, we would not be able to break it out today to show you what it would be if you had a no deductible on glass. I think the significant point, though, is that North Pacific Insurance Company has 29,000 auto policyholders. 180 of them carry a zero deductible. The other 28,000 plus voted not to have a zero deductible. They could buy it today. In other words, we sell it today with a zero deductible if they want to buy it.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I just want to go on record as saying Margo Shields had every opportunity to look at Dash 2. Representative Phillips is aware of the amendments. It is our intent to carry on with Dash 5, and we would like Dash 3 to be put in there. Representative Phillips is not endorsing Dash 2. He felt that it muddied the waters, and Margot was not endorsing that amendment.
Okay. Were you through with your questions, Representative?
I just wanted to ask Cletus what you thought of Representative Anderson's suggestion.
Well, I'm getting older and grayer, just like everyone else. I tried to pick out the line while he was talking, and I didn't hear it all.
Madam Chair, your permission.
Please.
Please, on line 10, after the word shall, strike the word provide and insert have for sale.
Yes, my question, Representative, with that particular change in language, and let me direct this to Tom. What you're talking about is an option to purchase deductible or not. Isn't that currently something that I could do as a consumer?
You could buy comprehensive today.
What was that little noise
today.
You just made at first? Was that yes?
Yeah, I was going to say yes, but I wanted to qualify it in the fact that this applies only to the glass. In other words, it does set another little compartment in there that you would have a deductible on everything else, but you would have no deductible on glass. That's a little bit different than what we sell today.
Okay. Well,
Madam Chair,
yes.
That language, again, maybe I went a little too fast, but does track with the hand-engraved version stamped by Mr. Bessonet on line 6, we have for sale. And he didn't like, for some reason, the word offered, but he says have for sale for some other reason. And I didn't like the shall provide, which is a real mandate. Hence, I just thought it sort of tracked it.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to ask you to make a motion, Representative Anderson, with the Dash 2 amendments that have been additionally amended. And if you'll make that motion as such, I will appreciate it, and we'll see. We'll
all
test
right,
the
we'll
water
find out right
or the
now.
Glass, so to speak.
Madam Chair, I would move the Dash 2 amendments, 2385, with a modification of line 10, after the word shall, strike the word provide, and insert have for sale.
Representative Anderson has moved the amendments HB 2385-2 and as further amended, have for sale, so noted on line 10. Any comments or questions? Yes, Representative Peterson.
I don't feel real strongly one way or the other, but in my mind, have for sale means if someone is smart enough to ask about it, it's there. But if they're not, it probably wouldn't be. So I'm not sure if this solves the problem you're looking for, that's fine. I'm not sure in my own mind that it really does. Maybe it's sufficient. And certainly if someone asks specifically for that, they can get it, according to this.
Well, I have confidence in the independent insurance agents that write insurance for big companies, that they would probably enjoy writing that type of policy.
Fine.
So that you've got a distinction between your glass deductible and the perils other than the glass, and a different deductible.
Representative McTeague.
I'd just like to say, Madam Chair, that I think this is a good amendment, then, and it fits with the rest of the thrust of the bill, and I think we ought to pass it.
All right. Teresa, please call the roll.
Gilman?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ekus?
Aye.
Schoon?
No.
McTeague?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Jolin.
Aye. HB 23-2 and as further amended has been adopted. Okay, now the next policy decision we have before us is contained in documents Dash 5 versus, if you will, for lack of better expression, Dash 4. I will entertain amendments, or motions, rather.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Anderson.
I would move Legislative Council dash 4.
Representative Anderson has moved HB 2385 dash 4. Any comments or questions? Representative Bekus.
I got the impression, feeling from our previous discussion, that there's some sentiment for including
motor homes,
the self-propelled mobile home, as part of the definition on private passenger motor vehicle. Self-propelled mobile home.
Would you like to amend the amendment?
I would amend the amendment to add that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
And clear it up. In that item will be addressed in the Hayne and Gross comments that are not in either dash 4 or 5, I think, is maybe a separate motion. I'm not sure. The Hand and Ghost one, my understanding, Tom, was that your Hand and Ghost version here did not include the things that are in 4 and 5. Isn't that correct?
Tom Bessonette, it did include that.
Oh,
that's included. The Hand and Ghost is lines 1 through 6 on page 1. And then some other amendments on the back page on line 4.
Rearrange a section.
Yes, well, Legislative Council did that.
Okay.
Yes, please, Sherry.
There is a note on page 1 of Mr. Bessonette's Hand and Gross version that I don't think copied real well. The new language is inserted between lines 9 and 10 of page 1 of the Hand and Gross version.
And the new language.
And that starts at line 8 of the dash 4 amendment.
Line 8 of the dash 4 amendments.
If this is correct, Tom, it runs from line 8 to through line 15.
Correct.
And then you pick up section 3 again.
Section 3 in my amendments is new also on page 1.
And what is section 3 on?
Section 3 of the bill.
Section 3 of the bill,
of
the
printed bill is
section 4 in the amendment.
Is line 4, or starting line 4, page 2.
Okay, I'm a bit confused. Where are we addressing Representative Ekus's concern in regard to self-propelled mobile homes?
Madam Chair.
Representative Ekus, I see it in 5.
I believe I would be adding the words as and a self-propelled mobile home to the. It says mobile home.
It's first defined under the definition of page 1, line 17.
Well, it page 1, line 17 refers to a private passage motor vehicle. Line 25 defines what a private passenger motor vehicle
is. And that's where you want to insert.
And I guess I would add on line 3 of page 2, after old, where you delete the period and just add and a self-propelled mobile home.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm sorry, I have it. Testimony to be giving in IGA. I would just, as I've said before, if your Representative Phillips wants and wishes that you'd adopt dash 5, amending dash 3 into 5. They say that was a Legislative Council oversight, but that would be his wishes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I guess what we need to ask is, does Representative Anderson consider that a friendly
motor
amendment?
Motor home is friendly, wherever you want to fit it in.
that seems to me where it ought to go.
Okay. All right, on line 3, page 2, after old, eliminate the period and add, and a self-propelled motorhome?
Mobile.
Mobile. All right. Yes, Representative Schoon.
I was going to ask Mr. Bessonette if the language about the vehicle being not more than 12 years old applied only to sedan delivery or panel trucks, or whether he intended that it applied to all these vehicles we're talking about.
I would have intended it to apply to all vehicles that would be insured under this kind of a contract. And if you add motorhome afterwards, then it would, motorhome would be separate and distinct. Mm-hmm.
Then it ought to go after delivery? After retail delivery? Is that what
I avoided the problem completely by sticking it up in front of sedan, and it was after pickup body, so that I didn't have to wrestle with it.
Pickup body, comma, a self-propelled mobile home, comma, sedan delivery, or so on and so forth.
Well,
Representative Ickes?
I'm having trouble following the style here because it starts on page one. It says it's got a comma after conveyance, and then it starts out and includes any other four-wheel motor vehicle of the utility, pickup body, sedan, delivery, or panel truck. And then if we inserted it there, I think it would be under the four wheels. So that's why I didn't put it there after seeing it. So
see what you mean.
Okay, well, how would I respond to him, Chair, on line two, then, after the retail delivery? I think maybe that's what Representative just said.
Yeah.
I think he's right.
After retail delivery?
Yeah, I think you need a comma, then you add and a self-proposed vehicle.
You've got and not more than.
Well, legislative council is going to, I can never keep up with the commas and the ands in legislative council.
Okay. We can have them do that. We've got the main gist of the thing, and I'm sure there'll be no problem. Hold them responsible. Yes, Representative Anderson.
I own a motorhome that is exactly 10 years old. It's a real gem and a jewel, and I wouldn't trade it for two other brand new cars, and it's sure not a bucket of boats, and I'd sure like to have the opportunity to insure that glass.
What do you have to say about that, Tom?
I really lost track of the question. I'm sorry. You'd like to insure what?
There are a lot of 12-year-old mobile homes on the road that are pretty valuable pieces of property, and very few of them are buckets of gold.
That's true. And you can insure them for collision damage. This is property damage, entirely separate type of coverage now we're talking about. If you have a $10,000 or a $20,000 motorhome that is worth that at 10 years of age, I would recommend you not carry this coverage on it. You'd carry collision insurance.
Representative McTeague, I think you're covered, Andy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm a little confused since we have all these different things floating around here. In this, can you tell me why the 12-year-old in the first place? I'm kind of lost for the reason for that.
Tom Bessonette. In an attempt to bring some compromise from the insurance industry, some people wanted 10, some people wanted 15. So I arbitrarily said 12.
Puberty.
Okay. Representative Anderson, you have accepted that as a friendly amendment.
Adding somewhere in there.
In the appropriate place.
Council.
A self-propelled mobile home.
Motor home.
Mobile. I thought you guys just corrected
me. Well, it is mobile in here. That's the way it's listed. We all call it motor homes. But
right.
It's,
all right. We've been trained in correctly. That has been moved, dash 4, HB 2385, as further amended to include, where appropriate, a self-propelled mobile home. I'm sick of saying that. Teresa, will you please call the roll?
Peterson?
Aye.
Ickes? Schoon?
Aye.
Gilman?
Aye.
McTeague?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Billings? Aye. Dash 4 amendments have been adopted.
Thank you.
Would would you like to let me reopen that vote, if I may have the permission of the committee and your consent? Representative Ekus, you need to vote aye.
Thank you. I apologize. I had to steal a cup of coffee. I vote aye.
Thank you.
I thought we had a new rule in this committee.
Well, he had to run, and I allowed that. If you need to get a cup of coffee when we're in this kind of situation,
okay.
Absolutely. Mother, may I?
One or two?
Representative McTeague.
Great. If I had two, I'd have to carry back two cups of coffee.
Representative McTeague, by the way, had I known where you had gone when you were out of the room, I would have gotten you.
Madam Chair, I won't go into a lengthy discussion. I was just trying to get some billfolders down here so I could participate in the debate. But question I have, I'm still confused over this 12-year limit business, and it seems like this applies to things other than private passenger cars, but it applies to Representative Anderson's RV or whatever he has. Could you explain that to me? Why it applies to one but not the other?
I thought it, Tom Bessonette, I thought it would be put back in so it would apply to all vehicles.
That's the way it is.
Whether they were anything
to all
vehicles that are insurable under the language of the amendments, which would include the motorhome or mobile home.
So if you have a vintage car worth $30,000, that you can't insure that either under this provision?
No, we could insure that because this is minimum standards.
Oh, okay. Minimum standards.
Right. And we have to provide the coverage on our 12-year-old. We could provide coverage on a 20-year-old if we wanted to. We would not be restricted back to the law. We can write more liberal, but we can't write narrower than the law is.
Yeah.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you. Tom, there was a new section you talked about in the dash 5 on page 2, lines 23 and 24, where she had defined property damage means damage to the vehicle and doesn't include damage to the contents. Is that language you have in yours also?
No, that language is not mine, Tom Bessonette. I did not feel it was necessary because in the original bill on page 1, line 6, it says coverage for property damage to a vehicle, and I think that's very distinct.
That's clear enough.
And that does not include golf clubs or anything of this nature.
Thank you.
I appreciated her attempting to do that, but I thought the bill had already clarified that point.
Okay, we do have a motion before us. Yes, and if you can't remember what it was, I'll repeat it for you. And that is to adopt HB 2385-4 as further amended to include, where appropriate, a self-propelled mobile home. We've already done that? Oh, I'm sorry. You guys have got me totally. I think I wanted to say that word again. I'm not going to say it again, I promise. Do we have a motion then at this point to pass the bill to the floor?
Have we adopted the amendment?
Yes.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative McTeague. Representative McTeague has moved HB 2385 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion or comments? Thank you. Teresa, please call the roll.
Gilman?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ekus?
Aye.
Spoon?
No.
McTeague?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Dolan?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Ekus.
I really think we ought to thank Tom, Mr. Bessonette, for his work. I mean, obviously, it's not a bill that
he's in love with.
He likes a great deal, but he did, after our discussion in committee, make a contribution to the bill, and I appreciate the effort that he did make on it, understanding that it in no way commits him to support the legislation.
I want to thank you, too, Tom.
Okay, I don't know whether I'll thank the committee or not, but I do appreciate the words that have been said, and I remember what Representative Ika said, that when I said, now comes the beast, the beauty has already testified, and he said, as I recall, at the end, the beast and the beauty gets together, and it looks like we have. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Cletus.
I want to thank the whole committee for allowing a stranger on the block to come down from the big city and explain to you about a concern that I had. It does prove that there is the art of compromise is still alive.
Yeah, we haven't passed the bill yet.
We got the first step.
Right. And before, members, Lou Hanult leaves. He's a constituent of mine from Cottage Grove. See you later, Lou. The bill has passed and will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Matique, would you like to carry the bill?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. I think we're going to finally get to a bill we've been waiting for. I'd like to open the hearing on HB 2482. What I'm waiting for, ladies and gentlemen, is we had a request from one of our members for a 5-minute recess, and I'm going to honor that. Thank you.
Good.
But you guys.
You can get I stole the coffee from the first committee here.
Just waiting. That's where you come in. Come up, please. Can you believe it? We finally got to your bill.
As they say on Sunday morning, hallelujah. Representative Jolin, members of the committee, I am Robert Panetti, Executive Director of the 4,200-member Oregon Medical Association, and with me is Mr. Tom Cooney, who is the OMA's legal counsel. For the past 50 years, the OMA has arranged for and sponsored a professional liability insurance program for its members. Currently, more than 2,000 physicians avail themselves of this sponsored coverage. During the past 15 years, CNA Insurance, headquartered in Chicago, has been the sponsor carrier under a rather detailed contract with the association. During this period, OMA's formal dealings with CNA Insurance have grown to the point that today we negotiate directly with corporate representatives in nearly all matters relating to the program and coverage. We review and advise the carrier on underwriting of all new applicants and many renewals. We participate in marketing the program to physicians. We advise physicians of coverage and rate changes. And we work to solve and resolve problems and grievances on behalf of individual physicians. In short, we are actively involved in most all aspects of those things that are traditionally relegated to the agent, with the exception of actually writing the coverage. It is our wish to either acquire or create our own agency to market and service our sponsored professional liability insurance program. And House Bill 2482 proposes to amend the sections of the state insurance code that currently prohibit associations from selling controlled insurance exclusively to their members. Mr. Cooney will address the legal issues at the conclusion of my brief remarks. There are several reasons why we wish to move in this direction. First, medical malpractice insurance is a very special and limited line of coverage which requires special training and attention to properly service physicians. A number of changes in coverage are in the offing, and we want to make certain that the physicians fully understand these changes and make correct and informed decisions regarding their individual coverage. We believe we can more cost-effectively operate an agency dealing solely with a single line or single area of insurance, and we believe that we can service the sponsor program at less cost and thereby hopefully impact positively on the overall premiums. We have been consulted with the State Insurance Division and have been advised that current controlled insurance prohibitions preclude associations.